Renaissance Recall with Jim Miller is part of Grey Towers Productions.
Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Ha! You ringtail sailors coming up behind! Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm! Now, me lads, be up good cheer!
And welcome to Renaissance Recall. My name is Jim Miller, and with me is my co-host, Kristen Ehrlitz. And are you ready for this week?
I'm always ready.
You're always ready. that was the most lackluster. I'm always ready. And we have three interviews this week, and we're going to be doing 20-25 minutes a person. And we're starting out with
yay, he can count.
I can count because our third person is on their way right now, and it's a mostly militia episode. Mostly militia episode. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with Aaron. And Aaron, we're going to ask, who are you and who do you play?
Oh,
all right. They're easy questions.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No. Your name is?
my character name, of course.
No, your actual name.
Both of them. See, this, he should have studied.
Well, I only popped up the rules for a couple of minutes.
Alright, so, my actual name is Aaron Weedor, and I play on cast the Elijah Reacher in the Militia. As far as what my role there is, being in the Militia, I'm a pikeman. It's kind of changed as far as what other kind of profession I might have.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I've always tried to mix in something different, like if I'm like a collector or I don't know.
So your character's occupation is mostly militia, but
mostly
you have a...
Sometimes trying to do something else on the side of it. But most of the time I get stuck in the militia all day anyway, so I don't really get to do a second profession too much.
Okay, no, I totally get that.
I don't mind that too much because I actually kind of like where I am in the militia. Like, I like mm-hmm. being over there.
Yes.
Yes.
You'll honestly find sometimes the townsfolk eventually, especially the new ones, will figure that out and come in. So that's kind of nice. Honestly, I don't envy having to do the food lines.
Oh God. Well, we actually have a connecting story with you for Zell.
Oh yeah.
So, and the next question I normally go with is, how did you get into working at Ren Faire? And Zell had a really good story about...
how
did
you get into
Ren Faire? No, I got him into Ren Faire. It was just me. It was also
Kendra. Yeah, we kind of both were like, hey, so... this thing. You should do it.
I forget how we dragged him along to it.
I think he was your ride.
Was he our ride? I don't remember too much, but I do know that we got in there somehow, because we knew he'd be great at it, and I just never expected how much he would actually fall in love with it, personally.
Like, yeah.
I knew he would be good at it, but I did not expect for him to love it as much as he does, and he has just taken it to a whole other level where I never expected him to be where he is today, which is being, you know,
in charge
of the militia. Like, I never would have seen that coming, and I'm not saying that he's good at it, like, don't get me wrong, either. He's good at it. I just, you know, putting into it, I never would have seen that coming.
Did you end up?
How did I end up there?
Yeah.
Well, actually, another person, Kendra, again, is the reason I ended up there.
So this is all Kendra's fault.
This is all Kendra. Kendra's the one that pretty much got Zell and me in their boat.
So Kendra's responsible for forming our current militia?
Basically, yeah. So for Kendra, it was she wanted to go audition to be a barf, and she didn't really have a ride there, so she asked me. She's like, Aaron, can you take me to the auditions for barf? I want to go be on cast this year. I said, all right, I can take you there. And I take her there, and she goes up there, she auditions, and then while we're there, she's getting, you're being determining what role or where you're going to be.
Yeah,
with somebody.
Of- going between the places and
Chris,
making my decision.
Chris, and at the time, the captain of the militia was Ed.
Mm-hmm.
And they both come over to me and they go, so Aaron, what are you doing? I was like, well, I brought Kendra. I'm like, why aren't you joining? Well, I don't know if I can, because I came up with the time. I was just kind of getting a feel for UPS still. I've only been there for about a year or two, and I was still kind of adjusting. Like, I don't care how long you work there, it never gets easy to get up at like 2 in the morning and
yeah, I understand.
Warehouse. But so I was like, well, I work at UPS. I don't know if I'll be able to have the time. And they're like, well, can you stand here and hold this weapon? I was like, yeah. I'm like, good. You'd be great for the militia. You don't have to do much talking. You just, that's a lie.
So our directors will lie a little bit to get your foot in the door.
But you know,
it's not lying. It's creative knowledge gathering.
Sure.
Or giving. Creative knowledge giving.
But yeah, they recruited me into the militia, basically. And I totally didn't expect it. Because at the end of the conversation, next thing you know, Chris goes, all right, it's settled. You're in. Like, wait, what? I'm like, okay, I guess I'm in the militia this year.
remember what I say every year to militia? Victim tiered, voluntold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
But honestly, I don't regret it at all. I'm really glad that he did come over and essentially push me to be on it. And I know part of the reason why Chris pushed me to be on it was because he'd known me from the previous original Virginia Renaissance Fair, and he was like, look, I know you can do this. Because the other reason why is because I didn't think I could, like, why I was kind of backing off a little bit about not even willing to audition at first, because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it again. I was, yeah, it'd been like, the original fair was in 1999, and this is what, like 2011 he's talking. It's been over a decade since I've done this stuff, and I'm like, hell no.
Wait, do that 99, yeah, over a decade. Sorry, yeah. We're good. It's been a long day.
Sorry.
That happens a lot, don't worry.
Yeah, but it's, like I said, it's been over a decade since I've done anything like that. I honestly was on the fence about it because and I was a kid, so I was like, it was a whole other thing. You know, when you're a kid doing that stuff, they don't really pressure you too much about being right on your accent and all that kind of stuff. You
know, so you've done Virginia Fair since 2011.
The fair, yeah.
Yeah.
But you did do the original Virginia Fair.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I should have specified.
I did.
Which Virginia Fair?
I was part of the original one back then. Started out, and the funny thing is, I started out in the militia there, actually, as a page boy, and then I actually ended up not liking that, like, believe it or not, which is what's really funny about this, I really didn't like being in the militia too much when I was younger, and so the next thing you know, the next last few years of us being there, we were in the nobles, so I was a noble kid. And I enjoyed that a lot because I got to go around and be completely free wherever I wanted to be, and people were bowing to me and all that kind of stuff.
That's pretty awesome.
I think part of the reason as a kid why I didn't like being in militia is because, well, when you're a kid, you want to roam. You want to go around and do stuff, and I had to be at the militia camp. I couldn't go anywhere else when I was there. Here we are today. I don't mind that.
Yeah, because it's in the shade.
Yeah, roles completely reversed. Well, it's not just that. In general, you know, I actually like all the weapons over there. I like showing off what we have and talking about it. In fact, probably one of the ones that I try to make the most fun with doing, one of the what do you call it, sections or...
sections.
Sections of entertainment. Or is the I can't think of the name of it, Pell's Post. The Pell's Post, which basically, it's this giant piece of lumber on the ground that we just smack with a sword. But we teach the kids, they have a good time with it, and we'll take adults in there too if they want to. And I usually just try to make a kind of a stage as much as I can and have a good time. And originally, I didn't like doing that because it can get scary in there sometimes. we've learned how to prevent it from being scary by not telling people things like, pretend it's an X.
He just gave the X the X.
There's stories there.
You know, the worst ones are the Girl Scouts, though.
So, we'll go back into this portion of it. How did you create your character? Like, your current one. We could talk about the other ones, too, but...
The original... So, that was actually, I can't remember who it was. A couple of the directors were around helping me come up with the character. And we went through a couple of different ideas, and none of them really seemed like something I'd be into. And, they were like, oh, I... Someone on the, like, how about we do a play on words? You could be a red shirt, or call you Reed Shirt. And I was like, okay, and like, and you could come up with bits about it, about how, you know, my captain makes me stand in the front of the line and tell me to just wait. I'll know what it hits me when it hits me, or when I'm there. You know, different types of jokes, basically, and referencing the whole Star Trek red shirt, first in line, first to die. thing.
And do you die?
Yes, I do, actually. That's been a running joke since I've been there now, with a lot of the militia skits. Typically, these days, it originally started out with some sort of a pike drill bit, which is where we demonstrated how the pike stuff works, and that was a much smaller show, and typically they had a kid come out with a fake arquebus and point it in our direction, and I'd fall over, oh, you got me! And we have since evolved it into now the Storming with Walls, which is, we've actually got like these two little lumber walls that we try to recruit as many kids as possible to be the townsfolk for those, for that little fortress, and then we attack as they defend it, and I'm the only archivist that gets basically shot at.
So you die every day.
Typically.
A little bit every day.
But, yeah, the kids get a kick out of it because they get to pretend bang with the gun. Like, bang. I fall over and they laugh. And then anyone who gets the joke on words when Zell goes, yeah, that's how you lose a Reed shirt. No.
So my favorite little part of that whole play on words is that you actually wear a red shirt.
Yes.
The whole fair. You wear the red shirt the whole fair.
And I think that's the militia has pretty much decided that that's just who I'm going to be from now on, which I don't have a problem with. Don't get me wrong. It's fine with me. I don't mind being the red shirt.
There's one in every crowd.
There's one on every crowd.
Someone has to die first.
So you talked about being the noble at the original fair. Did you have a character for that, or were you just like young noble number one?
I was just, you know, I didn't really have a character too much. I mean, I was a kid. I just put on the pretty things and went around the fair. That's how I looked at it. I kind of grasped the concept some because I wasn't that young, but it was still, I'm trying to recall it too much at this point.
Golly, looking pretty and running around the fair.
Yeah.
I get you.
I remember.
Bow to me.
I remember being that I got assigned capturing the the doves. They had these doves that they would set off after a show that the queen would send off, and I was actually really good at finding and capturing them because I was the one that, you know, being that the noble kid that doesn't really have any station, I can just, again, wander around, so I was really good at watching where those doves would go during the show and then go and recapturing them for them.
Wow, that's something I never knew that the fair did.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
We're going to come back to that
eventually. So what, in your personal life, what is your occupation? You mentioned UPS.
Yeah, currently I work at UPS. Trying to change that, actually.
Well, don't mention it on the podcast.
No.
Unless they already know.
Well, I
haven't really been quiet about it too much.
I get you.
I tried to change where I work with them, because right now I work in the warehouse, and I tried to become a driver. That didn't really work out. For one, because of the way that they're testing to see how you be a driver works, I won't go into it too much, but it's
sure. You're in really, transition.
It's not really, in my opinion, personally a fair test, but I'll tell you about that another time.
I totally get
so
it.
So, what would be the dream job? I mean, what are you heading for?
As far as if I were to say, I guess dream job, I've always enjoyed just tech. I like working with my hands as far as tech is concerned. I mean, I could get a living just putting things like computers together and then taking them apart and swapping this piece out for that piece and all that kind of stuff. I'd be happy with that because that's just something I've built my own computer at home.
So it's definitely like whenever we need a new phone or new computer parts, he's the one that we turn to and we're like, hey, is this good?
Yeah.
He knows how to look it up or, you know, just tell us off the bat.
Or,
like, that's it.
So, or there's some kind of an issue with something in the house, but something, guess who they come to?
Aaron, can you fix my insert item here?
Exactly.
So you guys know that Renaissance Recall is now sponsored by Geek Squad.
No.
Oh, God. Like every single episode, there has been something that has come up, and I'm like, that's a sponsorship opportunity. And
because
we have a photo. This all started because
Ensign.
Of Bobby and Braxton. And
no, actually, it was Ensign. It was Evan. Evan was the one who turned around and goes, and Renaissance Recall was brought to you by, and he just started randomly picking out products.
He actually started the brought to you by. We were talking about potential sponsorships back with the cookie dough because there's a photo.
God.
There is a selfie in existence of Braxton, Bobby, Jim, and myself eating what can be best described as a vat of
cookie dough.
Like one of those buckets that you get for parties where you just
and we just
had the
God.
Bucket and four spoons.
So yeah, that was pretty entertaining. So let's go. How long have you been acting? I mean, you said you were talking about when you were much younger, and you were.
You know.
Have you done any other acting other than bar?
No, it's not really. The fair has been the main thing. I mean, I used to assist with a dance team or a performance team at my church called Higher Power.
Mm-hmm.
And they always tried to get me more involved other than just being the go fetch boy, but it was always, I guess, more stage shy at the time.
Gotcha.
He was more interested in bringing us chocolate when we needed it and moving the props around.
Yeah, I had no problem being the heavy lifter. They kept trying to get me to be a dancer or someone that would be part of skits and stuff like that, but I always found a way to just kind of run and hide. And they were looking for me to try and get me involved in it. And they were just not happened to, quote unquote, show up that day. Because, I was really nervous about it. I mean, honestly, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that Varf has changed for me, is it really helped me come more out of my shell than any other thing in my life has ever done. Even when, and it started originally at the original fair, yeah, but it, again, after that stopped, I kind of went back into a shell. Yep,
there's our third.
I can't open the door. Hello.
Nice hat.
Absolutely no one in their right mind would willingly drive in this.
But good thing none of us are in our right mind.
Well, you can either grab a couch or we can pull you around. We're going to swap Chris over next to Kendra in a minute or so.
Yeah, I'm going to grab the ottoman and drag that over. That is Roxy. She is the ancient one.
She is the ancient one.
She is mostly deaf.
All right. Who's a good boy? Yeah. Yeah.
So... well, let's go back to, do you have any good stories, a story that just reminds you randomly of fair, or just something that immediately when you say, what's a good story, and you go, oh, I've got this one.
Of course, I'm trying to think about it. I can't think of anything at the moment.
We can come back to it.
We also have, what has been your best experience? Like, what has been an experience that just... you just can't forget it, how much it meant to you.
That's tough because honestly overall it's just been a lot of great experiences with being at Bark. In general, just the overall acceptance of just being myself, I guess. And like when I first came into VARF, being on the militia and all that, I didn't know what to expect out of it. I was kind of like, here are all these people who, you know, some of them are big and hairy. Yeah. And, you know, it's really funny, by the way. I don't know if I ever told you, but I looked up your name one time, and it said something that looks intimidating from a distance, but isn't when you get up close. Something like that.
That would be helpful. Like,
you found me out.
But I was like, oh my gosh, that's so perfect, because that's fire to the team.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, no. I never expected how quickly we bonded as friends, and quickly more along lines consider each other more like family rather than just friends these days. And that happened just within the first year alone. Like, just
it's a Remley.
Yeah.
It's a Renaissance family.
It's a Remley.
And I was actually rolling that over family? In my family. Noggin for a good 30 minutes
like
the other
it.
Day. How do you put Ren Fair family together?
Family.
It's, yeah, family. I like it.
Family. I was just thinking about the same thing, yeah.
Well, okay, well, let's go something a little more, let's go something a little more fun. So what do you keep, because there's a lot of people out there that spend a lot of time on their kits. That's the stuff they put on their belt, like the stuff they carry around with them. Because some of the more townsfolk, they go out and they have stuff on their belt to do entertainment and... some of the militia carry some crazy weapons on their belt. You know, some of the nobles have like 15, 30 pouches on like a vest. But what do you keep on your belt?
Mine's a little boring, honestly. It's just pouches. I honestly thought about trying to add like I have a sword I wanted to wear one time, but I don't have any kind of sheath or anything for it, so I never thought about that. And I was kind of told that it's kind of on the edge of being able to be used, too, because it's not really in that time frame, but I could get away with it being considered a fairly heirloom because of the type of year it was technically, quote-unquote, made in.
Yeah. Well, what style of weapon? Is broadsword or...?
Excalibur, I think I was told, is the type of style is what Norm said.
That would
it's
be
like
English Crusader, like Light Crusader.
Something like that, like... I just remember Excalibur being the term when I brought it to Norm. He was like, that's kind of like that look. He's like, he couldn't come up with another way to explain it better either. But he just was saying that it was a before time rather than that current time.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So let me ask you this. What is your favorite show at the fair? Like out of all the entertainers, out of all the shows... What is your favorite show at the fair?
Honestly, I love all of the entertainers here. I love seeing them when I get the chance to.
Mm-hmm.
I still to this day enjoy over all of them. No, nothing against the others. Just going and seeing Court of Common Pleas when I can see it.
That has been a going theme.
Just because I enjoy the improvisation of it. I just enjoy the creativity that comes out of it. You'll see things you don't expect at all every time. It's something different generally, and that's one thing I love about it, is because it's always something new and exciting and just overall fun. And if you get the chance, you can be a part of it yourself, and that's what I like about it.
No, that makes a ton of sense. Well, we're gonna take a break from Aaron, and then we're gonna talk to Kendra for a couple minutes. She's like, hi. I'm just over here.
And I'm now looming behind her.
So, Kendra, well, one, who are you and who do you play?
Kendra Tremblay. I don't really play her recently, but I was Penelope Wainwright, town seamstress. You know, I'd go around, I had an actual doll that I made that was dressed like me, and I was like, oh, this is the dress that I can make for people,
despite the fact that you were wearing said dress anyway.
Exactly.
Yes, it's always important to have a sample.
I had a mini model.
No. Mini model.
It was mini me, but also a mini model, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went from townsfolk as that character to to middle class.
Nice.
And kept the same character for as long as I was doing it, which I don't think the last 3 or 4 years I haven't really been on cast, you know? But that's mainly like health issues, you know, being outside and all of the layers and my allergies, they don't exactly mix well.
But you've been a patron, you've come and visited and done some playing along, and you've gotten to wear some really cool non-period pieces that are fun. Like you did some steampunk.
Yes. Yes.
And came and visited us in your steampunk. Yeah, that was cool. And we've seen a couple other themes when you come visit. So that's fun, too, from an actor's perspective, that you get to play with people who are having fun in their own way.
You guys can pitch in if you want, or just we focus on each person individually, and then we keep going. So you guys can make comments if you hear something funny. So, Kendra, how did you get into Ren Faire? Because we went from Zell to your brother to you, and you seem to be the focal point of like three. Yeah, you are the origin of like three or four people falling into Faire.
Caitlin, when she was on cast, actually, I was also because of me.
She's just a recruiter.
I was gonna say a dealer, but I guess recruiter works too.
I keep cards underneath of a trench coat and I approach people, hey, you should be a part of this thing. Anyway,
that should happen. Oh.
My whole family went there just to visit as a, you know, a fun family get out. And,
actually, we did for about 3 years, I think, maybe four. Before, I thought Chris maybe approached you, wasn't it?
He approached mom and dad, I think, and then us kind of afterwards, but I was the one to be like, yeah, you know, we should do this. I wanna do this. And we went and we auditioned, like Aaron said, and just kind of got into it that way. Being a patron and going from there.
So were you surprised when you came out of your audition and Aaron was like, yeah, I joined too?
I think he wasn't the only one out of the family to do that. No, I think we were on cast first, and then the rest joined.
The family came the following
year. Yeah, the following year.
They didn't join, or at least maybe even 2 years.
They at least showed interest. They at least showed interest. But yeah, I was like, all right, cool, I'm not going in this alone.
I was
pretty excited.
The following year, the year before that, but or maybe the year after that, but either way, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of. I was nervous being the only one to go in there. Like, I don't know anyone. What am I going to do? But it worked out.
So, how did you create your character?
I forget. I was sitting down talking with someone and trying to just hash out ideas. And they were like, well, you like sewing, right? I was like, well, yeah, I guess. And they kind of like, well, okay, let's pour that into your character. And that's just, you know, I like costume making. I was actually the one who was up for like 24 hours making a lot of the family costumes. Just sitting there, throwing back energy drinks, sewing.
No, we've never heard that before, have we, Chris?
Oh, no, we don't know what that's all about. Nope.
Not at all.
I most definitely did not have to almost be late for an opening scene to go put on my new bloomers that
we
made the night before.
So, have you done any characters at any other fair?
No. Like, I'm pretty sure, actually, if I remember correctly, Penelope Wainwright is actually the character name that I had from the original fair.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of just...
I'm just gonna borrow this. I'm gonna cut. I'm gonna paste here, and we're done.
Bring it along with me.
I'm honestly surprised you weren't able to remember that because I can't for the life of me remember my original fair name.
The only reason that I remember it is because when Mom and I were cleaning the downstairs basement, I found a photo book of like the old fair, just nothing but the old fair, and there was a picture of me, you know, in my little pink and blue outfit at the time. Oh, yeah. Pink from head to toe. With my name, my character name, over top of it. So that's
Oh, I getcha.
Somewhere along the lines, we found one of those original food vouchers that they would give you for being
there. Oh, yeah. No, that's in the photo album, too. Like,
is it still there?
Mom saved.
Wow.
Lots of things from the old fair. I still have the original fair t-shirt that I use as a sleep shirt now because it's a little snug. You know, I wore that back in 1999, so it's a little snug now.
A little bit.
I'm
surprised it still is a sleep shirt.
I can wear it as a sleep shirt, but I won't wear it anywhere else.
So, so technically you've been doing fair since the original one.
Yeah, well, you know, break in between.
short
break, actually. But yeah, we were there for a few years. I actually started as what's the term? As one of the queen's maids.
Ladies in waiting.
Yeah, but like not for that fair. I was in more of like a maid-like outfit. It was blue from head to toe, and yeah, lady of the.
A lot of gender primary colors going on there.
I just remember that my mom and I had to help set up the feast, help break down the queen's feast, and kind of wait on her when she was in that area.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah, I started there and then went to the nobles.
Maid of honor.
Yeah.
Maid of honor. Maid of honor.
Yeah.
I got there.
Yeah.
It just takes a minute.
So let's go with this one. What is your current occupation, if you have one?
I don't actually have one. I'm kind of been trying to work on that.
She
right
is
now,
Kendra.
Yes, I am me.
I am Kendra.
I'm a unicorn. That's my current occupation. no, but I'm actually taking classes for coding and website building. So.
Awesome. We'll have to talk.
Yeah, I'm just learning the basics right now. I'm just at HTML and CSS. Like, just the basics. I'm not even at HTML5 yet. Just basic line.
I'm at Weebly. Kristen does better at me just breathing.
Yeah, I've almost completely finished my first class of that.
Cool.
And I bought, like, 3 more because I want to make sure that I have this subject down.
It's a tough subject to get into, but once you get the language, it's just like learning a foreign language.
I've taken to it like a fish with water, in all honesty. Like, Caitlin was the one that actually mentioned it to me. She's like, I think you'd be really good at coding. And I was like, no. I'm not a tech person. She's like, no, do it. Okay.
You guys can drag her in here next time.
So he builds it and you program it. I'm seeing a family business in your future.
Well, I'm mainly learning website building right now. Like, that's my focus.
It's important.
So, I'm just getting into the interactive stuff, too, which is really fun and cool.
Awesome.
Well, so let's go to acting. How long have you been doing acting? And if you've done anything else involving acting?
Well, as my brother mentioned, the dance group that I was a part of, it was a performance group, really. We did dancing, singing, acting. We did skits. Every once in a while, like, jump in and do a skit for that group. Mm-hmm. So, and I was a part of that for 15 years, I'm gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah, because Natalie also mentioned the same group.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's how we know her.
That's how we know Natalie.
Yeah, that's how she used to be under me as, like, I was a captain and would help her.
Oh, wow.
So did you all know it? Did you guys know Natalie before fair?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it was really funny when we showed up there and we were like, I know you! I know you!
My next question was going to be, which one of you made the other ones go to fair? That was just random.
Or she tried out and you guys were like, hey.
Yeah, we had no idea she was going to be there. We showed up there for rehearsals.
It was like a torpedo coming at us.
Just like, what are you guys doing here? We're like, what are you doing here?
Well, it's Natalie.
I love that, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, straight for us with arms wide open, and I love that.
Yeah.
Like, yay!
That's Natalie.
So, and we really didn't get a chance to bounce this back and forth between Aaron, but what hobbies do you guys have? I mean, current hobbies, like stuff that you guys enjoy to, like, you know... I call it de-resing, where you have to take a couple minutes to pull yourself together.
I have, I guess, my primary thing that I do, really and truthfully, for just kind of relaxing at the end of a day and just to kind of get away and escape the world would be gaming, honestly. Like, these days, mostly Overwatch.
I have been told so many times I have to start playing, and I'm like, well, I mean, we're in an internet kind of, like, we only have so much internet a month. So,
yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it's tough when you want to, like, online game with, like, hundreds of your closest friends.
It's honestly, it's a lot of fun. I've actually met a lot of good friends just through playing these games that have become lifelong friends just from us meeting up on Friday nights and stuff like that and playing things online together, like Rocket League and...
I totally got to get into this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and one of the things that's even really helped us keep together on communicating what we're all going to play one night or whatnot is this, Discord, it's, which allows you to create any server, as many servers as you want, actually, but no extra charge. It's all completely free to download and do, and you just make these chat room servers with, like, individual text rooms and voice chats, and it's just
nice. Crazy
cool, and it's really helped us keep together our friend bases and organize whenever we're going to do something together.
maybe it'll be something we can look into.
But aside from that, occasionally, if I really just need to just kind of escape, I try to practice playing the guitar.
It's gathering dust. I'm trying.
Yeah, I gotta get better about it myself there too. For a little while there, I picked it up and was like picking up every day.
It's good to see you get back into it, though. Like, I always enjoy hearing you play.
And what about you?
Mostly, like, I do game, too, but I also like to draw or paint or something like that. And dancing. Dancing is a good stress relief.
I totally understand. And so, we're going on through, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth through the questions just to kind of keep it all of us awake.
Keep it fresh.
What is your favorite show at Fair?
I do enjoy Court of Common Pleas, Court of Love, you know, those things. And I also really like watching Circus Stella if I get a chance to.
Because
I'm a big animal lover, you know? So it's always nice to see.
Jana?
Jenna's
million watt smile has already been discussed on the podcast a couple times. Oh, and so when you come into Fair now, what's on your belt?
Well, for the past 2 years, I've been helping out at Just in Time Boot Booth.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working as a vendor there, you know, helping sell the boots. and, you know, that's fun. The only thing that is kind of like, darn it, is I don't really get to move out from the booth. You know, because you have to be there when you get lots of people that want to try them on and come in, and you have to be there to do that. You can't just go and enjoy the day.
She gets stuck in the booth tent just as much as I get stuck in the militia camp sometimes with the amount of people that swarm.
We get busy.
It's not a bad thing. Appreciates that, you know?
Don't let me forget at the end, we'll plug Just in Time. You can, I mean, if you want to look up the information for them, and we'll go ahead and toss them on there.
They got a Facebook page and all of that.
Yeah.
And we can actually link it on our Facebook page and our website, since you mentioned it. I'll make a note.
Thank you.
I'm actually hoping to upgrade my boots here before too long.
You should.
I
need to.
I want to so bad. I was hoping to do it this year if I had gotten the position I wanted to get.
Yeah, I was in the midst of trying on and figuring out exactly which pair I was going with, and then this one's vet bills hit me, and I was like, well, that's my boot fund right there.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna meet up with you guys day one of next year.
No, they're great boots.
They're great boots.
When they came out the two-tone, that was what I was
doing. My family.
Straight black.
I've got the two-tone, my mom's got the two-tone.
So I really want
the
second pair to be two-tone.
Yes.
Especially since I could steampunk with those a little bit more.
Oh, that's true.
They're multiple colors, so they'll match any outfit.
So, then what we're gonna do is we're gonna push the microphone a little bit more in between the two of you guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to have a problem projecting.
All
right. It's like, all right. Let me, I'm going to pop in an earbud because we're still getting levels and everything like that.
I just remembered something, if you don't mind me going on
about. No, go ahead.
So I remember one of my actual favorite moments at Faraday was dealt with Joe Bishop.
He's on the next wave. We might be doing a couple of doubles over the next couple months to get a lot of people in, but.
I miss him. I haven't seen him in a while now, but.
Yeah.
Please, lots and lots of hugs
for
us.
Yes,
I'll absolutely. I'll pass that around.
Go ahead, Aaron.
My favorite moment I remember dealing with Joe was,
dealing with Joe.
It's like, I was coming out of the militia, and I had to go use the crib. I go down to the crib, and there's Joe.
So it's a Joe Bishop story that involves a crib.
Yes. So there's Joe, standing by the crib, as me had, in his all bright pink outfit. I don't remember what he said he was doing. He's like, master of the cribs or something like that. Or and I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, I have to make sure you don't take too much time in there. I was like, oh, okay. So I go in, and almost immediately as I go in, I hear, you know, like, pop, 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 pop. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? I'm sitting there like, okay, I'll go over this. Not yet. Not quite. He's like, are you sure? You need some help in there? No, I got this.
Oh my god.
And he just keeps knocking. I'm just sitting there going, almost, almost, almost done.
That's awesome.
I'm sitting here trying not to bust out laughing because I know I already knew with Joe that I was expecting that stuff after meeting him. When I first met him, just gave me that impression that he was just going to be this fun, outgoing guy. But oh man, it was definitely interesting. And I remember when I got done later, he came by and he was like, look, I had been trying to do a bit with someone on that for forever, and every time I've been standing over there, people avoid the prams like it's a play. So he's like, so thank you for playing along. And I was like, oh, I had fun, honestly, thank you.
Best privy break ever.
Oh, man. Okay, so we have our third interviewing. And person we're interviewing. There we go.
Interviewee. Good job.
Subject.
Victim tiered voluntold. Anyway. So let's start out with who you are and who do you play.
Alright, my name is Myron Cashel. I play Lieutenant Frederick Gunson in the militia, along with Aaron.
No, you can get a little bit closer if you want.
Alright.
Aaron's like Meyer has just wrapped his arm around Aaron and brought him in. I think this is close. This is never close. Oh gosh. Not in each other's laps, gents. Not in each other's laps.
Darn it.
Okay, so let's get back to this. Go ahead, Meyer.
Yeah, I play Lieutenant Frederick Gunson in the militia alongside Aaron.
Awesome. So, and what is your, besides being a sergeant, what is your sergeant's?
Lieutenant.
What is your lieutenant? I put sergeant. I'm going to change that. I saved it as Sergeant Gunson.
Did you
I'm going to
say, what is your sergeant lieutenant?
What's your sergeant lieutenant?
Actually, I'm a sergeant now. I have to mention that.
I'm going to have to resave this entire file. So, Lieutenant, my apologies, Lieutenant. And I just completely lost my space. So, Lieutenant, do you have another occupation besides Lieutenant? Or?
Well, yes. At the Ren Faire, I'm also the Assistant Guild Manager of the Militia. Zell and I make sure that nothing too bad happens.
Which is a good and noble goal. Well, I mean, does your character have another occupation, or?
Yeah, it varies year to year. Currently, he's just a farmer.
You are the biggest farmer I have ever seen.
Yeah, well, you see, I came from a very poor town, a very poor family. We could not actually afford an ox, so it was left to me to pull the plow.
Honestly, one of my favorites was when you were the sheepsmith.
wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. The Sheep Smith?
Yes. Well, you see, it's a long story. Many years ago, the theme for the Ren Fair was they were kicking out all of the peasants and replacing them with sheep so that the hat industry could thrive. And of course, the militia were intimately involved in that, collecting the fines and making sure everyone did their job. And since then, the militia's kind of had an obsession with sheep. So my character's like, well, alright, a blacksmith pounds iron, and a leathersmith pounds sheep. I am a sheepsmith. I pound the sheep, you know, and make them nice and tender for the butcher to sell.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I never heard this. That was amazing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when he came on, he was like, I'm a sheepsmith this year. I was like, wait, what?
I mean, introduced it to me. I just go around pounding sheep.
So that, oh, my gosh. So. Wow, so how did you create Gunson?
So me and my best friend joined at the same time, and mm-hmm. for my name, we were both in there to be militia. We're the guards, and we've got the little skinny guy and the big burly guy. So it's like Frederick and Knobby Knobs from the Discworld. Alright, well then, I'll be Frederick. And I had just seen Young Frankenstein, so I decided it had to be Frederick. The name Gunson came because I kept getting called a son of a gun by my folks as I grew up.
That's actually pretty awesome. Yes. It's like, yeah.
So there is a bit that you do that was already discussed in a previous podcast.
Oh dear.
And we want to know, so the human lightning rod.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
All right. So it was a rainy day, as happens in Barf very, very often. And what's better to do on a rainy day than play with lightning? So I gathered up all of the militia, and we started doing fight practice on the top of the hill. And then this got boring, and we all went our battle ways. Ah, the maypole. Now, at the time, the maypole was about 3 or 4 times as big as it was. It literally catapulted Chris Pantazis one day.
Jeez.
So, I decided we should play Who Can Touch the Highest on the Maypole. Now, this happens to have been the year of the Gunson. There were 5 or 6 other cast members going by that name. So, I put out the call, you know, we're going to play this game. We're going to try and do this because it's lightning out. Every single Gunson except one was joining me and playing. The one who didn't make it was running to join us as we left.
Oh, God.
Now, nothing bad happened to me or any of my friends, but I got chewed out by Cornelia Rutherford.
Mom.
I got chewed out quite a lot and told under no circumstances am I ever to do this again. I got chewed out to the point that my girlfriend got chewed out for not being able to wrangle me.
A Meyer Wrangler. It's a requirement at every fair.
No, I can wrangle myself now.
Well, I mean, I can understand Cornelia's thoughts on that, because being a former jouster, yeah, the big wooden stick and the lightning rod and being covered in metal, and well, they weren't worried about me or the armor. They were more worried about the horse.
I was perfectly fine.
Nice.
Was that the horse all right?
The horse was perfectly fine.
So it's weird that you should bring up the whole lightning story. Now, at that time, nothing happened. I was fine. But one of the reasons I'm late today to all this is there was a lightning strike about 15 yards from my house.
Oh, God.
You mentioned that on the phone.
I'm in the shower and all I hear is a boom. Well, I guess I'll figure that out after the shower.
That's the cleanest I've ever been, inside and out. Why is lightning?
So just to give our listeners some perspective here, it is pouring kittens and puppies outside.
Yes, it is pouring pretty hard.
It is thunder and lightning. It's gross. It's been doing this for a couple days.
It's amazing.
But it's pretty cool. Actually, I'll tell you. tell you what I'll do is I'll go outside and take a quick picture or video of it and be like, this is why we're inside podcasting right now.
So, okay, Meyer, so let's go with, how did you get into the Ren Faire? Is this something involving Kendra?
My entire life, I had wanted to go to the Ren Faire. Unfortunately, back in the 80s, my mom kind of got a giant mud hug at Maryland Fair. Now, while this is fun for some people, it wasn't really her thing, so she didn't want to go back to fairs. But my best friend is talking to me, and he's joining BARF. I'm like, what? Cool, get me in. And so I went with his family. His mom is pretty much my second mom. And my first day ever at a Ren Faire was opening day, first day I performed.
We're just going to take you from the warming plate and just throw you right in the fire.
Yeah, I wanted to be a townsfolk, but I go in, and there's this guy. He's like a foot taller than me. And he says, ah, good. You're a big, strong man. You're in the militia with me. And would not take no for an answer.
Would not take no for an answer. Well, I mean, I can understand.
I mean, it works. It works. Now.
So, and we talked about how you created your character. So, have you done a character for any other fair? Or?
I've done some steampunk things, but I will have a new character coming up in about a month. I'm going to be working at the Maryland Fair for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah. Cool.
I didn't know that. Are you on, like, cash?
Yes. Yes.
When did this happen?
I just got a confirmation email today, but I was asked about it last year at fair. So, I go to the Maryland Fair, and, you know, I have a good time, and I always go visit Norm, because he works by the Joust. And, of course, it gets
at the
busy.
Militia. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets really busy there, so I will step in. I'll talk to people about the shtick. Here are the weapons. Let me talk to you about how everything works. Like,
I think all of us have done that a little bit whenever we're in garb and we're at the fair helping out Norm.
And I've come there year and I've helped them out. I've helped when it was really rainy or when people needed to be spotted for breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you want to join us to make it official this year? So, yay, I get paid to be at fair. This is going to be amazing.
So this is also our first official podcast with a Maryland cast member.
Maryland cast member.
This is a dawning of a new day in Renaissance Recall history.
Oh.
So we're also going to be trying to get Norm in here. There's a long list of people. We're bringing in people, entertainers and directors and so on and so forth. So the next wave is supposed to be like directors and people that can't come here during the week.
All right.
But be that as it may, so awesome, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. So how long have you been doing fair technically?
I have been doing fair since 2005.
Wow.
Back when I started, the Ren Faire was actually on the other side of the road and the winery.
Oh, wow.
So wait, on the other side of the road, so, like behind where the building is?
So, you know how there is cast parking that leads to the overflow?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The overflow was where the old fair was. For the parade, what we used to have to do was wait until cars passed the road and then cross the road with the parade.
That's awesome.
That is so cool. I never realized that it was anywhere on that site besides the field that it's in now.
Yeah.
2006, they moved it to where it currently is. 2007, we started digging into the woods.
Cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. So, what is your occupation? Your personal occupation?
I work at a coffee shop. I'm essentially a coffee sommelier, except Somalia doesn't really have coffee. I teach people everything from the history of coffee to why different things taste the way they do while serving it in gourmet processes. However they want.
That's awesome. So it's not a barista, it's a different name.
I am an advanced barista at my store. I'm the first in the Maryland district. I see it more as a coffee guru. Yes, I will do the barista stuff and put pretty art on your cup, but I'm also gonna be there to give you the story and the experience.
That's awesome. And you can plug your shop if you want to when we get to the end.
All right.
Okay. So, well, so that's an occupation. How long have you been acting? Or have you acted anywhere else?
Yeah.
His so smile just lit up. We're in for a treat here.
So I spent about a decade doing Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That is awesome. Any particular character, or were you jump back and forth, or?
I did Eddie and the Criminologist, but usually I was one of the Transylvanians, or I was one of the props people. When I say I was one of the props people, I wasn't just carrying the props. I have been pretty much every major prop for the show.
So, cast, crew, support, prop.
Yeah.
How? I have to ask.
The RKO tower was pretty much me in a black suit covered with duct tape, a giant gnome hat. The best one I was the wheelchair for Dr. Scott. I got giant wheels as shoulder pads, and I got my little 90-something pound friend Liz to ride on my shoulders as Dr. Scott the whole night. The show ended. If you have someone on your shoulders for an hour or so, you will not be able to move when they are off your shoulders. We both kind of collapsed in the back room.
Oh, man.
So when you how long did you say you were doing Rocky Horror?
I was doing it for about a decade.
About a decade. So, but how often, like, is it once a year?
Every Saturday night, and October was usually Fridays and Saturdays.
October.
For fair.
Yeah, so roughly 52 performances a year, because you're adding 4 extra performances in October, but then you're taking out the 5 that fair takes up.
Yeah, I've long since forgotten my number, but I know I'm past 500.
I'd say that's at least 520 shows in that span of time. That's incredible.
Oh, man,
It was fun, but it's a different thing now.
So, do you have any other hobbies besides?
I play the didgeridoo, and I'm a blacksmith.
A blacksmith?
Yeah.
That is the most Ren Faire hobby there is.
No, my other hobby is most Ren Faire. I have a side gig as a Morris dancer.
Wow.
So
you are not a small dude.
No. Dance where you have to crawl under pretty much a cave of swords. Now, everybody else was about a foot smaller than me, and I did catch a sword directly across my eyebrow once.
Oh. Been there, done that. Ow. Yeah.
So what is Morris dancing?
Morris dancing is an old English folk dance. If you ask someone where it originated, they're going to lie to you. You can recognize them at Ren Fairs. They're the people wearing bell pads between the knees and the feet, waving hankies or sticks around, like in the back of the safety dance video.
Nice.
That's a really good example, because I've seen that 100 times. It didn't click until you mentioned something.
Yeah.
Actually, wow. Okay, no, that's amazing. Okay, we will plug them too. Anything you want to plug, we will plug at the we will plug during the second part.
Have a Facebook page, but I don't know if it's just for the group or for public.
Okay, no, you can ask them if you want to. We'll take a break in a little bit, and we can jump around with that. So, what is your favorite show at the Ren Faire?
I really don't know what shows we have anymore. I get stuck in the militia most of the day. I'm gonna say my very favorite show is St. George and the Dragon that we do at the militia.
That's an awesome show.
It's pretty much the retelling of how St. George came and saved the town from a dragon. Now, the dragon itself is played by the militia. We all march down a field, making us look like a giant flapping wing with huge, great, whooshy sounds.
Swish, swish.
Yes, exactly.
I was hoping you guys out one year. I was actually on Fightcast that year, but you guys were short a couple people for St. George and the Dragon. And so I got the big bar mace, and then every time they would go, whoosh, and we go swish, swish, because I was playing the tail.
Okay. We have some flappy weapons that no one should be swinging about this way, and they make a great tail.
Sorry. Not everybody does it. I keep doing the I need to cut back on the
Replace it with
R. Anyway.
Or awkward silences.
Awkward silences.
The worst part is that when you think about it, you start saying it more.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to say but then you just keep saying
So what do you... You have a very interesting character. You have an interesting position, just like Aaron and Kendra when she was a part of cast. What do you carry on your belt?
Well.
All right. That was an evil laugh.
Other than the standard Renfair kit of, you know, reality pouch, utensils, and mug, my sidearm is a brush axe.
So you're going to have to describe this for us.
All right, so a brush axe has about a 3-foot handle, and the blade is like a billhook. It comes up and tapers out to a point, but the point is slightly bent at about 90 degrees.
Wow.
Think a really, really fat 7.
Fat 7. Oh, okay. No. The shape.
Yeah.
Now I get you.
So I have that as my sidearm. I also have a pouch of mini pipes. I took about 2,000 chopsticks and painted the tip of them silver. So when I'm out on the street and have to explain what on earth a pikeman is, I can pull it out and do demonstrations, and I can teach people, you know, you cannot keep these weapons. These are our weapons, but you have been very, very good. Here, you can keep one of these. Remember, I just taught you how to use this weapon. Please do not do this and actually stab someone.
And I believe I have seen some of those used when you have more patrons for Parade than you have pikes.
Oh, absolutely.
I have seen the little mini pikes.
Whenever I can.
Oh my gosh. There, I did it again. But I'm teaching myself. We will learn. I can
penalty
learn.
Penalty shot.
Say again.
Penalty shot.
Throwing things at him.
That will probably be very effective.
If you're listening into this, if he says for the rest of this podcast, you take a shot as well.
I'm gonna get attacked randomly on the street.
Welcome to my drunken rhythm.
Oh no.
Whole separate podcast.
that might happen next year, like on site.
Yes.
Like the Saturday night. What just happened? I turned around and said, "Well, we'll say it after the doors close." And of course, Kristen and Katie turned around and said, "No, it's Renaissance Recall after dark."
That one's definitely gonna need a maturity warning for it.
Maturity warning. Do you have any good stories, or you have any experiences that just they kind of pop out to you no matter what?
Well, I mean, you already talked about the lightning one. There, so Court of Common Pleas, we used to have a guy on cast named Bagel. He was one of the jugglers, and his role in Court of Common Pleas was he was the attorney for God. God obviously is a very busy entity. He cannot be there. We can talk to his attorney. And it was raining because it's the Ren Fair. And someone brings up a case against God, asking, "God, can you make the rain stop?" And you know, after all the introductions, immediately after he said that, there was a giant rumble of thunder, and Bagel opens his eyes wide, points, "God says no." And it was the absolutely prime.
That's amazing.
So that's a prime example of how to use yes and.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. Do you guys have any good stories together?
Yeah, we do.
That you can say on this podcast?
Oh, maybe. Yes.
Let me highlight those rules again.
there was the reason that the tent. I was getting some armor done, and one of the steps in getting armor made, at least leather armor, is getting yourself put in a t-shirt that's covered in duct tape so that you can be sized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back in the tent, and I'm halfway through getting duct taped, and Aaron walks in on this. And it was one of those awkward moments when I had to explain that it wasn't as weird as he thought it was.
She just walked in, Myers covered in duct tape.
I'm just being duct taped.
I don't know if I remember. Are you sure it was me? I don't know.
Yes. Maybe you blacked it out.
It just blocked it from my mind. Which tit? Was that the... Was that Anthrax?
Yeah, that's why Anthrax got its name.
Oh.
Why did we call it Anthrax?
Because certain things looked like they happened backstage in the tent, and I thought it was a good idea at the time. It comes from Castle Anthrax from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Ah, okay. Now I got the reference. Now I got the reference.
References to Holy Grail are explicitly forbidden at the Virginia Ren Fair.
Two pence, Pythonism.
If you get caught.
Well, you just kind of gave that one away.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's insane now.
Now there's going to be a court of common pleas, like, first day of next year going, we're bringing up Lieutenant Gunson for Pythonism.
Doesn't count. The fair day is over. I'm not actually at fair.
Oh, he's got a point. You're hiding behind your character.
Loophole.
Yes. Oi. Okay. So before we do, we've got a couple more minutes before we do our break. Normally, we take a time, and then we're gonna have an open discussion on the second part of the podcast. Yeah. So this is not just like an hour and well, for you guys it's gonna be like 1:15, but we're gonna have a second part to this as well. So you guys are actually episode 11 and 12. And then we're going to talk about, like, just stories and fun stuff that we've interacted with, things that happened this past year, so on and so forth. So let's talk about stuff that surprised you guys this year.
Oh. I was asking myself at the start of this year, is this going to be a hot year or is this going to be a rainy year? I didn't know the answer was going to be a resounding yes.
To both.
Yeah, I was
going to
say both.
You guys have seen some of my like posts on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's like 100 degrees, 100% humidity. This would be an excellent time to wear a couch. Oh my gosh. Aaron, something that surprised you this year?
Oh, those were fun.
I heard about those. I didn't.
So this year, for the first time since I've joined cast, we closed one day because of the rain and because an injury to one of our castmates. There were rubber ducky races in the river that used to be a road.
Yes. So the whole entire gravel road that ran from the militia through the woods, most of that got completely washed out, and it created what can only be described as a small ravine, deep enough that the water, if you stepped into this thing, the water was well over ankle high. It was almost half high.
Wow.
And it was rushing really fast. So a bunch of people took the rubber duckies from the game that's down in the woods and started having rubber ducky races down that pathway, and the goals were, one, to get as far as you could possibly get, and two, to reach the bottom the fastest. And I believe a few rubber duckies were lost to the wilderness for good. But
they are the fallen. They are the
lost. A whole group of people following these rubber duckies as they went downstream.
Oh my gosh.
In the rain.
Wow.
And we tried to have paper boat races, but the water was going too quickly for the boat to float. A paper boat only floats on still water.
Unless it's a really big paper boat.
Unless it's a really big paper boat. boat, and these were not big paper boats, and we were using the parchment, which is a heavy paper, and so we made the paper boats, and we put them in the stream, and they just got washed right over.
Wow.
And then it was just a mass of pulp. Because once that stuff breaks down, it goes back to its original form of yuck.
Its original form of yuck.
That's something that I wasn't expecting with the rain, was that it rained so much that there was literally a river going through the tavern. Like, we're talking almost to my knees.
Yeah,
in
no.
Depth. That was, as far as surprising goes, I guess, that was not something I ever expected to
this,
see. Or...
This past year, it was, and I had to sit there and look back over the meteorology, history, and noticed Monday, rain. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no rain. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, rain. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no rain.
I know.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every weekend, except
just...
for, one or two days where it would be excruciatingly hot.
and the other part that was interesting too was how a lot of times when it was raining on the weekends, it would either start out that way and just be that way all weekend, or
mm-hmm.
it would hit us right at the end, perfectly right at the time frame that we're ending for that day.
The last Boom, 5 or 10 minutes we're walking up the hill and torrential downpour.
Right.
Right after that scene ended, every day.
Wow.
We always had that moment of, are we going to get to do it? I think we're going to get to do it. We're going. It's going to be a thing. And then as soon as we would end, it would just downpour.
Jeez.
Oh, honestly, from my end, personally, I actually always appreciate when the rain comes in, usually around 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because we have to put the weapons away early, and then I get to go and be free for that point. Because there's literally nothing else to do.
I'm free!
Because that's literally all we do. Everything over the militia deals with weapons. The Pell's Post deals with weapons. The weapons rack, obviously.
The armory.
The armory. Everything is dealing with some form of metal over there that when
mm-hmm.
it's raining, we have to put it away. So I actually... For me, it is perfect if around 3 o'clock some sort of drizzle comes in, so we put it all away, and then I get to go out and play.
And that's
how
it works.
Water
wars,
right?
We do have a few wooden weapons now, just in case, but it's malicious for you to go about and live their life.
Yeah, that's how the water wars started, though, right? Splashing each other and stuff.
Yeah, which I'm sure so many people have talked to me about that video about Natalie coming over and just what right in my face with her.
Spoon
full of water. It just turned into this big old water fight. I remember I'm just casually walking to the tavern, and I just turned. I see Natalie with this big old evil grin. What? Right in my face.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because that evil grin happens long before you enter the screen.
I know.
Oh my god.
There's actually more than one actually for just getting it. Especially when I'm talking to a couple people, she gets me right on the back.
Jeez.
Sorry, this wasn't on video. Because after the third time or second time or whatever it was, I don't remember which one it was, that after she kept getting me with the spoonful of water, I just said, okay, my turn. I went over to the first aid tent and got a cup full of the ice cold water. And I come up and I walk in and I go, hello, and I just pour it right down her back, and she just
well done.
So,
well done.
And then I think that's when about the third time she got me right on the back.
Yeah, because you upped the ante at that point.
I upped the ante at that point. And she got me good with that one. That all ran down.
There's a bunch of people that were filling their mugs with the water that was coming off the tents and the rain flies all over Farsight and coming off the pub tent. And the amount of patrons and other cast members in some cases that were going, I wouldn't drink that if I were you, and all the cast members going, we've drank worse. And actually, it wasn't bad. I mean, once you got through that initial rain, most of the pollen was off the tent. Whatever was going to come off
Liquid
God,
pollen.
That water was pretty clear.
It has protein.
I mean, that's meat, isn't it?
Yeah,
not,
sure.
Not even close. So, on this, we're going to end this portion of part one of what we're going to call Lieutenant Gunson, Sergeant Reshirt, and the Seamstress of Stafford. And thank you for joining us on Renaissance Recall. Come see part two, not see, but listen to part two when we come in, and we're going to be posting them about the same time.
Yeah, it's
so
an audio thing.
It's an audio thing. So thank you for joining us with Renaissance Recall, and come back and see us soon.
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! You ringtail sailors coming up behind, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, taking your tailpiece warm. Hartland Point's coming up in sight, on the port bow, sitting Lundy's light. We'll be stoking up some fires tonight. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Pilot cutter's coming up ahead. There'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread. Tonight we'll sleep in your feather bed. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Look at me now!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming out behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming out behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece. Jenny, keep your tailpiece.